I started out to follow Jesus many years ago. The road was sometimes slippery and my steps were often slow. I met with a position, didn't quite know what to do, but I made up my mind to make it true. Before the first round started, I said I'll fight until I win. I might even get knocked down, but I'll get up again. I'll control this temple, for I can't afford to lose. I've made up my mind to make it true. The years have come and they have gone, the battle has grown old. My mind's made up to win this fight, my faith has not grown cold. The joy of the Lord is still my strength, my confidence is true. But I've made up my mind to make it true. Before the first round started, I said I'll fight until I win. I might even get knocked down, but I'll get up again. I'll control this temple, for I can't afford to lose. I've made up my mind to make it true. I started out to follow Jesus many years ago. The road was sometimes slippery and my steps were often slow. I met with opposition, didn't quite know what to do, but I made up my mind to make it true. Before the first round started, I said I'll fight until I win. I might even get knocked down, but I'll get up again. I'll control the temple, for I can't afford to lose. And I've made up my mind to make it true. The years have come and they have gone, the battle has grown old. My mind's made up to win this fight, my faith has not grown cold. The joy of the Lord is still my strength, my confidence is true, and I've made up my mind to make it true. Before the first round started, I said I'll fight until I win. I might even get knocked down, but I'll get up again. I'll control this temple, cause I can't afford to lose. And I've made up my mind to make it true. Wounded soldier, pick up your weapon. Come fight the battle, you're not alone. Party angels are camped around us. We're not defeated, we'll soon be home. A wounded soldier, pick up your weapon. Let's fight the battle, we're not alone. Party angels are camped around us. We're not defeated, we'll soon be home. A wounded soldier, pick up your weapons. Let's fight the battle, we're not alone. Party angels are camped around us. We're not defeated, we'll soon be home. I want to read something here. It's Matthew 10. Verse 34. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. going to go to Luke 12. Start in verse 49. Luke 12:49. It's titled, not peace, but division. I have come to bring fire on earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is complete. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against the two, and two against the three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Heavenly Father, we just read your word here. I just pray you give us wisdom and insight how to execute this scripture, Lord. It's so me very much understood in this hour that we're now living in. I just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you could add another scripture to this about the man that went out to build a tower. And he was warned, you need to sit down and evaluate everything to make sure that you can pull this thing off. Because if you don't, if you only build it halfway, you'll become the 11th stuck of the county. Or if you want to go against an army with 1,000, go against an army with 10,000, you need to sit down and evaluate everything, make sure you're going to be able to pull it off. Because if you don't make sure that you can pull this thing off, you're going to be defeated. And here again, it's like that song said, I started out to win this race many years ago. And I didn't start this to get halfway through it. I started it to go to the finish line, because when the Lord saved me, he gave me a scripture, a prophecy. He that begin to work in you is going to finish it. And there again, it says, he that endures to the end, the same one will be saved. So why you got to really sit down and evaluate if you're going to be able to pull it off? And you got to know the scriptures, what you're going to run into when you go on this journey here. And I guess about 2-3 days ago, the Lord brought this scripture to my remembrance. There'll be 2 against 3 and 3 against 2. That is if to say, like I say, back in the early 70s, the Lord saved me, put me on this route, on this journey, and, to give me eternal life. And there for a while, I was on fire for the Lord. Man, I'm living. That's the best thing that could ever happen to me. I was saved, I had eternal life. And then, bingo, I run into an opposition. This one guy threatened to take me to the police or to the courts and accused me of attempted rape. And I allowed myself to be intimidated. I was only maybe a 2-year-old Christian, and I allowed myself to be intimidated by the NDs. And I was in a state of backslidden state, maybe 10, 15 years. But at that time, when I looked back, it gave me an opportunity to put my roots down. And I didn't know what's up the road, but I guess the Lord knew. It's like when you plant an apple tree, to make sure that apple tree gets its roots down and starts to mature, you take the bloom off, and so when it does start producing apples, that it'll be ready and mature enough to produce apples. And that's the way the Lord did it with me when I looked back. I didn't know that at the time. But when I looked back, the Lord allowed me to put my roots down for 10, 15 years. And then in the early 90s, Pastor Ekinix, man, he tapped me on my shoulder again. Said, Sam, I got some work for you to do. I'm just paraphrasing what happened. If you've been listening to any of these conversations, you pretty well know my life story, how the Lord dealt with me. And anyway, in the early 70s, or in the early 90s, he just more or less tapped me on the shoulder and said, like I said before, I got a work for you to do, and here's what it's going to cost you.
I might as well be up front with you. I want you to go speak for me to these other my preachers. And when you do, here is what they will do to you. And they were, happened to be my dad, my in-laws, like it says, here in the scripture it says, didn't come to send peace, but a sword. A father against his son, the son against the father. Father-in-law against the son-in-law, and the son-in-law against the father-in-law. That's what my law does. That is exactly what that scripture means. Once the Lord taps you on the shoulder, you belong to him. He has a work for you to do, and it's no use cutting and running. You might as well just know what's up the road. And that's exactly what the Lord told me. I have a work for you to do, and when here's what they will do to you. And like I said, happened to me, my dad, my brother-in-laws, my family, my in-laws, and they were against me and I was against them. But here, in this scripture, it was 2 against 3. But here, in my case, it was 1 against 100, or 1 against that whole Hutterite nation, so to speak. The Lord let me know, here's what it'll cost. They'll come and they'll take everything away from you. So he first informed me what it's going to cost, like the guy that built the tower. I'll actually read it for you. I just want to make sure that we get this down right, that I'm not just making it up. We have scriptures to back up what we're doing here, what we're saying. Luke 14:28. I'll start at 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." I just want to make it clear that it doesn't mean you literally hate your father, but you love Jesus more than you love your parents or your father, anything that stands in the way. Jesus has to be number one on this journey. And if you're not willing to have that as your priority, you might as well not even start. Because here it says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying that person began to build and wasn't able to finish it. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider what he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against them with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and will ask the terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. And see, this is what the Lord did with me. He let me know, here is what's going to cost you. Can you pull it off? Well, I was determined to pull it off. I was just had such a hunger and a thirst for the heavenly things. I was tired of this world. I had nothing in this world that this world could offer me. I was sick and tired of this pretending life. I wanted something a lot more, because the sign of scripture where Paul said, "Oh, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering." There's something that I liked in my life, and I wanted this heavenly thing more than anything. But like the song says, I started out to win this race, and I'm still in the race. I'm still fighting. I'm still a wounded soldier. Pick up your weapon and come fight the battle. You're not home yet. We have to endure to the end. But I just want to lay that kind of a footing here, so you know what we're up against. This journey is not for wimps. This journey is not for people that want to cut and run. It's to the finish wire, and even if it costs you your own life, you just have to be determined that is what I'm going to have to go through. And once you're forewarned about all that, you got to realize that's just the way it is. That's just standard procedure. That's just what you have to. You're going to have to endure, and you cannot make it without the Word of God, without fasting, without having determined that's what it's going to cost. And Peter said, "Don't think it's strange when these fiery darts come against you." like something strange happened to you. That's just the way, that's just standard procedure. To us, to you and I, it's become just a way of life. I mean, about the early 90s, I guess, the Lord tapped me on the shoulders and told me to go up against that thing, to expose it, to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose it. And that's what I've been doing. I've been a 30-year journey on that, hammering away. And throughout this, the Lord led me and guided me how to expose that system. And like I say, on the journey, through this journey, one of the first things he let me know, it's that artificial, phony, diabolical baptism. That's what the problem is with the Hutter Nation, is that baptism. That's the root cause of it. It's making a pact with the devil. There's two baptisms. One is an Acts 2:38, and the other one is that phony one that was instituted in Nicaea, Rome, by the Catholic Church. Of course, the Catholic Church hadn't evolved into what it is today, but that's the spirit behind it. It's Satan's baptism, and we have to know that. I have to know that. I have to learn all that, and that's how the Lord led me through that thing, to expose that Hutterite system for what it is. Who's behind it all? But anyway, I'm getting a little bit off topic, but what I'm trying to say here is, when the Lord taps you on the shoulder, you belong to Him, and you got to know what the cost is. And this two against three and three against two is so misunderstood. And I had to hoover it along until 2010, maybe, until the Lord brought you on board. Up until then, I had really nobody. I had to hoof it along. There was sometimes somebody would come along for a little bit of the journey, but you know you couldn't trust them. After a while, they found out they would stab you in the back in a heartbeat. So I guess in 2012 or whenever it was, the Lord brought you on board, and I began to think, what will people say to a thing? Well, the Lord let me know, it doesn't matter what people think. You know what they'll think. And he let me know, without you, there is no program. There is no agenda here. I guess the Lord, He knows the future. I didn't. And of course, you know, you're the first person that came on board that was, now it's no more one against 100. I'll just give you a number. Well, actually more than 100. You could say it's 1,000 or the whole world is against us. But we'll give it a number. Up until that time, it was 1 against 100. Now it was 2 against 100. Now at least we can fight this fight together. And what I'm trying to say is, don't think it's strange when these things happen. We've been forewarned by the scripture. There'll be 2 against 3. But here in our situation, now it's 2 against 100. And has it gone easy? No, it hasn't. But at least we got each other to help us win this fight, you know. Like we started out to win this race, and we intend to finish it. We don't intend to give up. And really, when you look at it, give up the family was hard, but it's a lot harder to give up your own life. You give up your own ambition, to give up your own aspirations and dreams, and just fully depend on the Lord on a day-to-day basis to allow yourself to be led and guided by His Spirit. But that's what I saw when, especially when I heard that Linwood, you know, he came out and he said, the Lord, back 2 years ago, the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and He put me on a course, and then you try to find fault with Him. Your family's against you. Well, it's just, this is what the Bible says and this is what it means. If that individual, my family, if the Lord hasn't, so to speak, tapped him on his shoulder, of course he'll be your enemy, because he is completely clueless what you're about. Unless the Lord taps someone in the shoulder and says, let's go, I got a job for you to do, then you're in harmony with that one person, like the way He did with you and me. Like I said, I had to move it along for a long time, but one day the Lord tapped me on the shoulder, back in the 90s, like I said, around 2010 or 2012, He tapped you on the shoulder and He brought us together. Now we're on this journey together. And I don't know how it worked with you, but that's my story for as far as the family is concerned. My family turned against me, and even my own children. I asked one of my daughters one time, what do you think? what do people say about me? Oh, everybody thinks you're crazy. Well, I knew I wasn't crazy, but I knew I was on a journey. And there again, it's that scripture. Two against three against two. But here in my case, it's one against 100. And then when you came on board, it was two against 100. Now, I'm sure you pretty well got the same story to tell, but, you know, I'm not alone in this. Mm-hmm. Now it's the two of us.
Yeah, because we were a pretty good close family. Because when you grow up in a colony where you're the target for the preachers, the bosses, they're all in the same family.
Yeah.
And they pick on a family to pick on, right? And we were one of the families that they picked on. It's just the way the devil does it. He knows a certain family has potential. They will pick on that family. And just to make sure that they'll never get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way the devil works. So we kind of stuck together pretty closely because we didn't have anybody else. So we were, in a pretty good sense, what you would call a pretty good close family. But when the Lord saved me, I could feel that variance in the family. I felt that I was different, that they could not relate to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not relate to them anymore because something was, to me, more important. It was Jesus. And that was the variance between us because I had found a treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And I held it dear to me. It was precious finding like that treasure in the Bible. And I would spend hours reading the Bible, and it was my priority. And but when I my mom was okay with it, because I would often talk with my mom about the Bible and stuff like that. But when I came to Brother Brennan, and when it came to serpent seed, that's where my mom could not, where I could no longer relate with my mom when it came to serpent seed, because it was going too far for her to reach.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was coming into the message of my hour, my day, where God was restoring all these truths, and my mom could only go so far, but I knew I could never really get comfortable. I could never really get comfortable because I knew up the road God had a different journey for me. Because I know one day I looked out the window and it was like the Lord was speaking to my heart, just like Abraham had to leave his family behind. That's what you will have to one day do. I didn't at the time understand it.
Yeah, no.
But until now I can look back, mm-hmm, and remember that time when I was looking out the window, and the scripture of Abraham came to me, how God called him out of his homeland, of his family, and showed him the walk of faith. And that's what the path of faith, that's how we are Abraham's kin,
mm-hmm,
kinfolk. That's how we are the seed of Abraham, by faith. And that's how I walked out that door the day when I left the colony. It was by faith. I left my mom behind, my whole family. But the process of totally separating myself from the family was kind of a process. It was, mm-hmm, not something that the Lord closed all of a sudden. It was a process that the Lord walked me through slowly, bit by bit, and until he becomes your all in all.
Yeah, it wasn't until really I was the same way. Mm-hmm. We really didn't have that close a family kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look back, it was the Lord just preparing me because he knew what's up the road.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have that close a family, so it wasn't really that hard. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a very close family, it's a lot harder than to break away. But I guess the Lord knew that he had a specific task for me to do. So he didn't, yeah, we were kind of close, but not as close that it was the end all wear all, because I read my Bible, I read what where it says, he that marries as if he didn't marry,
mm-hmm,
he that has parents as if he didn't have parents,
mm-hmm,
He that has part of this world as if he didn't own it.
Yeah.
I could see it. It's all a secondary item except for the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. And see, these little nuggets the Lord put in my heart growing up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, it wasn't until he saved me, gave me eternal life. And then for a long time, that was back in the 70s, I kind of, I still communicated with the family and stuff. But I was kind of like, you know, ostracized. It's kind of different. I was kind of, like my parents said, thinking about taking me to the mental home because I wasn't quite on their page, and they thought they had it, and I knew I had something that's real, something I wanted everybody to have. Like that Linwood, all of a sudden they want to take to the mental home, get him evaluated if he can continue on with this job that he has, continue on being a lawyer. And that's the same way. Like even with Jesus, they came and his parents, his brothers, not really his brothers, but there was of his family came and wanted to take him to the mental home. Mm-hmm. You can read the fine print. And when they come out, they told Jesus, come out, your mom and your brothers want to see you. Well, he knew what they were after, mm-hmm. and he didn't even give them time of day. He knew exactly what they were against him. They wanted to kind of ran a man thing to the mental home because the Pharisees told him he's got a devil. Mm-hmm. He's kind of mental. And here we've gone through the same thing. Like I did, my family was honestly thinking about taking me to the mental home. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have nothing to take me there to. It's just how the devil works. Because, see, for me to come along, and they've been in this system for 600 years, and all of a sudden I rise up and I completely shut that whole system,
mm-hmm.
of course they'll think you're crazy because they think they're it. And you're some kind of a loser.
Mm-hmm.
You're not used to this journey. But the Lord somehow made a way for me that I was able to survive until then I was able to get married, kind of as the Lord was driving my roots down, you know. And then once my lad daughter was born, when Jennifer was born, that very day, it was the beginning of the end for me as far as that other right thing goes, as far as marriage goes, as far as the family goes. And the Lord was tapping me on the shoulder, I got a work for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no use fighting it. And there for, I guess, maybe even, it happened in the early 90s, and it wasn't until about 2010, I would go back and forth and visit. And it was no benefit. I would have been better off to just cut ties 100%, but see, I kept going back and visiting, giving some money, and kind of kept this thing kind of rolling a little bit, not quite separating myself from them. But in 2010, around that time, the Lord, the last time I went there to visit, my wife said something so derogatory about me, I don't even want to mention it. And that's the last time I went there. And it became very obvious every time I go there for a visit. It took me sometimes a whole month to recover, to get my intimacy with the Lord again. So I just decided, I'm not going back there. What's the point of going back there? Because every time I do, it sets me back, and it's no good for them, and it's no good for me. But all this is because, like that scripture says, there'll be two against three and three against two.
Mm-hmm.
That means if you're born again, the Lord has called you in this journey, you might as well forget about your family. Like when Jesus called this one guy, and he said, I want to first go and visit my parents or bury my parents.
Mm-hmm.
He said, let the dead bury their own dead,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's just what you have to determine in your heart. That's the price you're going to have to be. That's standard procedure. It's just something that you're going to have to go through. And Jesus said, if you don't hate your father, mother, wife, children, if they don't become a secondary item, you're not cut out for this journey. And it says, whoever wants to lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, then you're going to gain eternal life. If you're not willing to lose your life, then you're not worthy to be mine. There's so many things in the scripture that you and I have to hold as anchor to, and it encourages that we're on the right track, because
mm-hmm.
to me it's a blessing
mm-hmm.
to be identified with Jesus and to be able that he would find us worthy to help him carry the cross, you know what I'm saying? And he says, if you're not willing to lose your life, if you're not willing to carry your own cross, then you're not worthy to be mine.
Yeah, I even said, you know, to my sister, you know, after I became a Christian, nothing will ever be the same again in the family, because it just creates a variance, and that's that. And when I heard my dad talk about you on the colony, but like I didn't pay much attention, you know. I just heard him mention your name and these things. But I had not met you until I left the colony, and I came to this truth, you know. And I think that's the first time I actually ever felt that I could trust somebody. Because I never had any friends. I can honestly say I never really had any friends, because I could never really
identify.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is completely, but until I met you, it was then I knew that I could trust you. It was just something. It was something, I guess, our spirits connected, and that was that.
I guess, like you're saying, it's a process. And I did. When I look back now, you can see the process.
Mm-hmm.
And the process, picking up momentum, picking up speed, separate yourself from your kinfolk, separate yourself from your family, from your children, and just the journey. It wasn't until Abraham completely separated himself from Lot that he finally got that promise.
Mm-hmm.
Look, as far as you can see, I'm going to give you all that. And that's the way it has been with us.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I completely separated myself from my family, and then the last nail in the coffin was when we started hanging out together. Then your family completely disowned you, and my family completely disowned me. That's when the real separation, when it really hit the road.
Yeah.
And the last nail in the coffin was when I had to tell Samuel, hey, he was trying to drive a wedge between us, and I guess the devil used him to kind of try to derail us. But the Lord, I know the Lord put this together, and the minute the Lord put us together on this journey, that's when we really got the attacks from the group we came out of here in Portage. Everybody and their dog was trying to drive a wedge between us.
Mm-hmm.
But we know the Lord had put us together. We knew we were seeing eye to eye, and we knew the Lord had given me the scripture, without you, the word, without you, there is no program. And you might as well give up right now. And I held on to that because it's a revelation. The Lord burned in my heart. If I cannot let anything get in between us. And the Lord, like I was telling some other conversation with my life, and then he sent in Vivian and Danny, then Luella, and all these were just demonic forces trying to drive a wedge between us. And to this day, we're still standing strong. Yeah, we've got knocks. But see, what we did, we decided to win this race.
Mm-hmm.
I may get knocked down. Many times we have been knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
And we come up and we just chuggle along, dust ourselves off, on to the next journey. And this is the way the battle has been. You know, it has been an easy journey, but it's been a good journey.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
When I look back, it was like I say, when you came on board, it was pretty much a nail in the coffin. But the final blow was when I had to cut Samuel out, because I thought he's going to come along in his fight. But it's kind of stupid for me to even think that way, because it takes somebody that's fully dedicated. Samuel was not fully dedicated to go on this journey. I didn't know that the Lord's been dealing with you since you were young, to prepare you for this journey. Like we had that conversation some time back about how did you overcome Laodicea? Well, go listen to it how we did. By the word of God, by God preparing us for what we're into now. That's why we can roll out that meat and due season. That's why we qualify to give the people the living water, because we have no salvation motives. Our only ambition in life is to make it through this journey and to, at the end of the day, to hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We have no ambition in life to be somebody, to be the big guy in the block and all that stuff. See, the Lord has schooled us. He has taken us through his word. See, we got his word. That word is a light unto our pathway and a lamp unto our feet, because even God is accountable to his word. Everybody want to see, God will judge it. No, I won't. The Word is going to judge it because He has put that Word above His very name. God even can't even, let's say God would want to help us out of it, make it easy. But that Word stands there. Mm-hmm. You and I have to line ourselves up with the Word, like it just says here. There'd be two against three against two. Even if God wanted to, He couldn't make the journey easier for us. He just forewarns us, and He gives us His Holy Spirit, and He gives us the power to overcome, and He gives us this song where it says, wounded soldier, pick up your weapon, let's fight. The angels are camped around us. They'll help us win this race. And that's basically what this is all about. I just want to make sure everybody gets it. We're not following some strange doctrine. We're not following some delusion. It's not a delusion we're in. We're guided by that unseen hand. We're guided by the Word of God. And that's why we are where we are. Completely alienated from your family, from your friends. And anytime they want to come and be part of this, be welcome to come. Hopefully the Lord will bring somebody else on board. Once we get our things established, then the Lord will start bringing somebody on board to go on that same journey. Looks like He had to prove me first. I was what? Since the early 90s till sometime 2015 or 2010 or sometime He brought you on board. But see, in the meantime, He tested me to see if I qualify, see if I can run this thing on my own. But what they did, they put my roots down. And then when, by the time you came on board, we were starting to be an encouragement to each other. Mm-hmm. We're not there to take advantage of each other, but to continue on this journey. Actually, it's been, when I look back, I could have never made it without you, because it gets tougher, you know. Mm-hmm. And the Lord knew, He's saying, I'm just paraphrasing, you're not going to make it alone. You're going to need somebody along to help you. Like the Bible says, it's better with two, that if one falls, the other one is there to pick up. And as many times we've had to pick each other up, you know, because it's just getting tougher and tougher. And as we go on this journey, it's even going to get tougher again. But the Lord will bring somebody on board. I already know that. For the next leg of the journey, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. And that somebody that He's going to bring on board will be kind of trained too already. Whatever they go through, they're going to go through. So there will be a benefit. Like when you're earning, better earning came on board. The Lord let me know, no, he's no benefit. He's a drag along. And if I bring somebody in, He said, he'll be a benefit. He'll bring a package with him. Mm-hmm. Ernie did not bring a package with him. Ernie was a drag along and trying to destroy us, trying to drive a wedge between us. And He said as much when I challenged him. Yeah, I guess I was. I said, you're just here trying to drive a wedge between us. And you're better off to go out and have fun with the boys and do whatever you do best. Just party it up. This journey is not for you. Then another few other guys came along and you wanted to make this turn. Us, no, you got your own fight, battles to fight. You go. The Lord let us know. Don't get involved. Just pull him out of the fire. Even hating his garments. Don't get involved with his finances. He's saying, I'm trying to teach you guys something. So you learn something from this episode, from the Jeremy episode. And we learn a lot for what? For the next leg of the journey. Mm-hmm. If these guys come in here, and God will let us know, this is just another dead weight. Help them out of this. Help them spiritually. We'll help them spiritually. We got enough conversation on the internet where, you know, all they have to do is listen. All they have to do is believe what we're saying. They don't have to go through what we're going through. All they got to do is believe it and adjust it to their lives. And if they keep listening and partaking of it's really living water, they will eventually come through that stature of Christ. Because it has that truth has a way, once it gets inside of you and you listen to it with an open mind and with an open heart, and you can trust it. And it'll do something to your soul, to your spirit, to your flesh. You'll be able to overcome just by believing it. Like, don't think we're out here trying to make a name for ourselves. We're trying to be this guy in the block. That's not our ambition. We're just trying our level best to be faithful to what God has called us to be.
And to help people, like what we've walked through, what we have journeyed through in life, what we have overcome. So we talk about it, have a conversation on it, so you can identify with it and overcome it yourself and learn from it. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, you don't have to fall in the same snare as we fell in. Mm-hmm. And dust yourself off. Continue. Just believe it. Like it says, come and drink out of the waters of life freely. This thing is free, and it's a living water.
Mm-hmm.
To him that is athirst, let him come. Let him come and drink, partake of the waters of life freely. To drink it in, that means that you allow it to do something to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
You don't drink little water, like going to a pool and drink a little water. But water gives you life, you know. And this is the word of God, is this water. You know? And this is not our word. This is not my... I didn't just wake up one morning and decide that's what I'm going to do. I don't have it from day to day. But 2 days ago, the Lord let me know, I want you to speak on this 2 against 3 and 3 against 2. What it actually means. It actually means when God touches, taps these two people on the shoulder, and he does not touch these other three, then there'll be an enemy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say in your own family, the Lord touched you and you told your sister, which never, the family will never be the same from here on out. And as time went on, and the progress went on, you're completely separate from your family. And when you wrote them that book, that kind of put the nail in the coffin. You know, you have absolutely nothing to do with them. They're no asset to you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're willing to come and put everything on the line, say, Lorraine, and cry out to the Lord. Lord, I want this journey. I want this thing that Lorraine is into. Like, you got to say it from your heart. You don't just say it just to kind of pass it. You got to really sit down and see if you can pull it off and know what it's going to cause. It's going to cause your family, friends. But at least it'd have us for company, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like for myself, I had to hoof it along for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wasn't crazy. I knew I was onto something because I felt that peace and joy inside that I couldn't, I wouldn't give it away for nothing. I would rather go it alone. I had to tell the Lord many times, I'd rather go it alone than have that guy with me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were going to your tests and it almost looked like you were going to go down the guy path, I said, well, Lord, I'd rather go along than have somebody that's not totally committed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you made up your decision. That's the journey you want to go on, and the Lord put it together and been journeying ever since. You know, it's not been easy, but it's a good journey because we know, like the Lord gives you joy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to worry about what the world does. We don't have to worry what's going to happen with Trump. We don't have to worry what's going to happen to the world, you know, when all these tough times come. We know what's prophesied. We know that George Washington's vision is on the horizon. And we know that there's going to be starvation and people dying all around you. We know all that. But we also know it's not going to affect us. Because we read Isaiah 65, you know. These guys will go hungry and you guys are going to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to affect us. It's not going to touch us. Because back in the early 90s, the Lord tapped me on the shoulder to prepare myself for this day. An hour that we're now living in. He just came to me at night, saying, I'm coming soon. He's coming in my generation. And everything that's written in the Bible about the end time is going to happen. The tribulation up the road. All these things are coming to fulfillment. And then it says, watch and pray that you may be found worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. And that's been really our day-to-day battle, is to prepare ourselves for the day and hour that we're now living in. Nothing affects us. Let the hire to go off, let the stores be closed, let whatever happens, it doesn't affect us. The Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these, and its righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. We have nothing to worry about. We trust that word. That word has been a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our pathway, because, and we'll just continue to trust him. Because they whom it says, God knows those that put their trust in him. See, God is in charge of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
The devil is not in charge of the plan. He's just trying to pretend like he runs everything. But he don't run nothing. God knows those that put their trust in him. There's no devil in hell that can touch you if you're at that right place in God. If you what all this conversation is about, just know, once the Lord touches, he taps you on the shoulder. Okay, Sam, let's go. Just like he did Peter. Okay, let's go. And they dropped their fish and their net and they followed Jesus. And yeah, they had some tough times. Yeah, that one guy wanted to go back and bury his dad. And he said, no, let the dead bury their dad. Looked kind of rough, but you had to make up your mind. You want to follow Jesus or you want to follow the family thing?
Yeah, there's some, though, that Jesus healed and they wanted to follow him. And Jesus said, you know what, you go back.
Yeah.
And just tell the people what the Lord did for you. There's some people that, I guess, fall into a different category.
Yeah, he still followed Jesus back in that town. And then he came back the next year and the whole town invited him. So he did his work, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like with that Jeremy, he's no good here on our journey. He's got his own journey to do. The Lord would tell him to that. But the Lord would tell him exactly what he told the Legion guy. Go back and tell your people the wonderful things the Lord did for you. And it's up to him now to make it attractive enough to his family that this is it, you know. He can't push it down the throat. And he's no value here to us because, oh man, just a guy ever have stuff. Baggage, man, I love. But the Lord has a plan and a purpose for him because he didn't start with him for no reason at all.
That's right.
And he had to go through literal hell to get to that place to bring him here. Well, we did. We cast that devil out and then we gave him the scripture and set him on a journey. But that's as far as we could go. He's got his own journey to go. And I think I told something about that kingdom. You're going to have to go out and get your own kingdom. Like Jesus said, as my Father gave me my kingdom, that's how I'm going to give you your kingdom. Each one of us has that kingdom. We had in the conversation how that works. Back in that prehistoric hour, those angels, they lost their kingdom. And they decided to go do their own thing. But see, when we're born in this world, we don't have a kingdom. We got nothing. We got to work our way towards that kingdom. And that kingdom was predestinated for us back in that great council of Ephesians 1, where God planned everything out and predestinated us. And then that big plan, he had a job for us. And when I look back upon my life, all I've gone through in life was to prepare us for what we're doing here today. And we're not going to stop. We're not going to allow ourselves to be intimidated. Although intimidation is a very powerful weapon. That got me paralyzed for 10, 15 years, is intimidation. But see, like I say, all the Lord was doing, I'm going to drive these roots down because up the road, if you allow yourself to be intimidated, and that's what they did when I started going up against that Hutterite system, the first thing they did, well, you can't come to church anymore. Well, I didn't allow myself to be intimidated because I had my roots down. Okay, then I'll go up to Ireland to go to church. And then they said, well, you can't work here anymore. So I called up the neighbor and he picked me up and I went to work with him. And see, these are all just games of intimidation, fear mongering. That's how the devil does. That's the only weapon he has. Intimidation, fear mongering. And finally said, well, you don't have a family. Well, so be it. Then I don't have a family. That's not the end all the way around. As long as I have the Lord, he's going to look after me. But see, the Lord had warned me, they'll take your family away from you. I was ready prepared. You know, Lord, let me know. That's what they'll do. Just give them to me and I'll protect them. I'll keep them for you. That's And I believe before this journey is over, the Lord will let me bring them back in, you know, because he said, just give them to me. I'll work on them. I'll bring them to, like he's going to refine them, do whatever needs to be done, and they'll come on board on this journey. Because I know you can trust the Lord, you know, because the Lord told me that's what they'll do to you. There's no way you can keep it. There's no way you can do anything for them. And in fact, before the journey started, I kind of, you know, I didn't want to lose my family. And then one day, the Lord let me know, hey, there's nothing you can do for your children if I don't do it myself. And my son was maybe 5 years old. He got lost in the forest. And the Lord let me know, what can you do now for him? If I don't take care of him, you can't do nothing for him. Then my other daughter got sick and a Lord Healer. I says, "What? Let me know. What can you do for her?" "Can't do nothing for him. I'll look after it. Don't worry about it. Just you follow me. I have a journey I want to put you on. And nothing you can do for your children. Just give them to me. I'll look after things." And to this day, as far as I know, they're doing all right. Yeah, they would like a family like my son Steve. He called me up there. "I want to take you over to my father-in-law to show you how family should function." Apparently, they got a pretty close family. And he wanted to teach me, take him over how it should be. And then Sam, he kept sending me these songs about this guy. And I let him know, hey, without Jesus, you don't have a family. They might have a close family relationship there as far as family goes.
Mm-hmm.
But do they have Jesus in their family? If you don't have Jesus in your family, you don't have a family.
Mm-hmm.
Because we already know how it works. But I mean, that's what I want to bring this out. Once the Lord taps on the shoulder, once the Lord calls you to follow him, automatically, you're disconnected from your family.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried it for a long time to kind of stay connected. But at the end of the day, you got nothing. It's just finally what the Word of God says. You of your own household will be your biggest foes. And you might as well accept it. Move on. I could have saved myself a lot of time, a lot of anguish, a lot of heartache. But I dropped it right from the get-go. But like you said, it's a process. And eventually all these things drop off. And now it's just the two of us. And we're just waiting for the Lord to bring somebody on board. That'll be a benefit. Other than that, I don't know how plain you can make it. Those of your own house would be your biggest foe. There'll be two against three. The two are Christians, and the three are not.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say, two will be sleeping in the bed. The final chapter will be, the two will be sleeping in the bed, one will be taken, the other one left. That is, you could even have a wife that's not on the same page with you. She stays here. But you have to send him with the Lord, and he takes you out of here in the rapture. And it just keeps getting better and better. It's a good journey, but I tell you, it's not easy, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to go to bed at night knowing you've done your part for the day. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I'll just send these books out. Well, I have to reject them. It doesn't matter if they reject them or not. We're just doing our part. They reject them, that's their problem. Like I gave that one guy over there some books, and I kept running into him. So I sent him some books and some CDs, and I seen him in town the other day, and I said, "Did you get the books that I sent you?" "Yeah." "So what did you do, throw them away?" "Some of them." And I said, "That's the worst thing you could have done. See, when we send these books to people, it's not us that sends them, it's the Lord. He'll wake you up at night."
Mm-hmm.
"You need to send that person a book. He needs that book. And what they do with it, that's not our business. That's mm-hmm. their business. It's to their detriment or to their blessing. But I'll guarantee you one thing. I've seen it where people as much as died
mm-hmm.
are rejecting him. They don't reject us. They reject what the Lord has for them.
Mm-hmm.
Believe you me, this is the final chapter. This is the only thing left in this world. It's this message here.
Mm-hmm.
You could go out there. I tried everything. I've been everywhere. And the Lord, this is the Lord's last final chapter before the rapture, before he comes. All you got to do is come and sit and partake of it, and you got it made.
Mm-hmm.
God knows that they could never go through what you and I went through. They could never overcome. It's the same when he sent Jesus to die for man's soul. Man was lost. And that God, that great eternal spirit, is Jesus, they can't make it without you. You're just going to go out and down there, and you're just going to have to take it upon yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And all the sins of mankind was laid on Jesus. And then you can go read that song, "My Highland Name to Sing That." And all that Jesus has and all that he ever will have was given to those that believe in him. And here's the same thing. God's got the same principle. But back then he had Jesus, and here's the same thing. All you got to do is believe it, and you got the same benefits that you and I have. Because back in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, Jeremiah came and told him, hey, just come under Nebuchadnezzar's yoke. He's going to look after you. Mm-hmm. God's going to see to it that you could go back and you can work your land, you can keep your house. But see, they rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, some of them anyway, most of them, I guess, and they lost it all. And here's the same thing. God's principles are still the same. I can go back in history and I can show you how these people that trust the Lord, he had a way of escape for them. Back in, before the communists took over, he took a lot of people out into America, into the free world, so they don't have to go through this communistic, they don't have to be slaughtered before the communists took over. And here's the same thing. All you got to do is come and drink out of the waters of life, really, and you won't have to go through this hell that's coming through on that tribulation hour that has come upon the whole world. It's not going to be very good. The same thing is going to happen to those back in that Holocaust. We were watching that movie the other day about what these people had to go through because they rejected the fishers. And here, I think we even had a message on it. Mm-hmm. The truth about the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. What those people had to go to. Oh man, you want to wish it on your worst enemy. And here's the same thing. If they reject this truth, they reject what we're trying to do our level best to, for their benefit. Definitely not for our benefit. Mm-hmm. It's all for their benefit. We had to go through what's for them. All they got to do is come and sit and believe it and walk in it and absorb it and assume it. And God will make a way through this whirlwind, that at the end of the day, you don't have to go through this tribulation. That pestilence will not touch them. That COVID-19 will just pass them by. That terrorist will not come at them after that night. Just trust the Lord. He'll make a way. He's done it in the past. He cannot go against His word. He cannot go against His principle. If you trust Him, and this here's that final chapter, this here's that meat in due season, this here's that living water, I can't make it any simpler because we have overcome that for them, you know. They don't have to go through. They don't have to go through every nook and cranny like I had to do in the last 10, 15, 20 years, 30, since the 1990s, early 90s, the Lord put me on the journey. We did it for them. And, it was tough, but we enjoyed every step of the way because the Lord gave us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Ever since I said, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way, I've had this joy. Can't explain this joy. It's just joy unspeakable, full of glory. And the Lord takes care of business. He takes care of everything we need. He's met our needs financially, health-wise, every which way that you could possibly think about. Mm-hmm. He's done more than enough, you know. Pressed down, shaken together, more than we can handle. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. Pretty much what I had to say, just that little conversation, that little let people know, we're not some fly-by-night. We're not on some wild goose chase. The things that we do here, we're led and guided by that Word of God, by that unseen hand, because we see it in the Scriptures. What we're saying here, what we're doing here, it's in the Scripture. Mm-hmm. Two against three and three against two. Those of your own household will be your biggest enemy. And yeah, we care for our families, but there's nothing we can do. Mm-hmm. Like it says over in Hosea, because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you and I will forget your children. You take the flip side of that. We've done everything we can to stay on board, to stay in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ and with His word. Mm-hmm. And He will, true to His word, He's more faithful than the word faithful. You can multiply that a million. That's how faithful the Lord is. Yeah. And he will remember your children. That's all that matters at the end of the day. That's all I'm trying to say. We're not some fly-by-night. We care for people. We're willing to put our life on the line for them, and we did. And they don't have to go through what we have to go through. All they got to do, God will make a way for them. They can only consume it if they can only believe what we're saying here. Mm-hmm. This message is true. It's from the Lord, not from me. Like I said 2 days ago, he put this on my heart. That's what we're going to have a conversation on. Holy Father, we just give you thanks for this another opportunity. sit around your word to consume whatever you have for us, Lord. We ask you, Lord, mostly that you will give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pretty simple. It's all in His Word. And we keep saying God will judge. No, that's not going to judge. The Word is going to judge us. See, the Word is right in our face. It's a cup up. That's going to judge us. No. That's why He gave us His Word. And the fact that He put His Word above His name, that lets me know God's going to use that Word to judge people.
Because that Word is unchanging.
Yeah.
It's not going to change for this person or that person. This is the journey. This is how it is. And we can't be partial, God, and because it's all written down already. It's all like the Constitution of America. It's already mapped out. All you need to do is follow it to be found faithful. That's the way the Word of God is. It's already written out. All you need to do is map out your life according to it. And at the end of the day, you will hear, thou good and faithful servant.
Like there's one prayer we're talking about. They, when it comes to there, like there's a scripture about not being partial, you know. There's a scripture about warning not to use two weights in judgment. And we know some people that when it comes to the next of kin, they use a different weight. See, they don't allow themselves to be led and guided by the Word of God. I can't use a different way when it comes to my children. I got to use the same measure that I use as somebody else, you know. I can't be partial. Sometimes you feel like you want to, but you can't because that Word stands in your face, you know. And I know people, they when it comes to their next of kin, they kind of, the Word of God is irrelevant here. Well, it's not in our lives. We have to be straight true. Like back in the days of, back in the Bible, it says where Moses, where he tested the Levites. He said, when you came to your dad, it's wrong. When you came to your children, wrong is wrong. When you came to your brothers, wrong is wrong. He didn't use partiality there. He said to your father, I don't know him. To your children, I don't recognize him. To your brother, I don't see him. That tells me, you know, he went straight through, you know. You can go read it by over when Moses talked to the children of Israel, to the Levites. You can go read it, what he said. That's another scripture that stuck with me. These little nuggets the Lord put in my spirit, in my soul, and they kept me on course that, yeah, you like to help this guy up, but you can't because the scriptures, you can't use a different measure when your own children are doing this as you do with somebody else. And there again, it backs it up with using two set of scales, you know. And it's not good. And then showing partiality, the Bible talks about that too. Or Paul, I charge you, he said, by the holy angels, that you not show partiality. Powerful, strong. I think he still told it to Timothy. Don't use two measures. Don't use partiality here. And people just kind of sweep it under the rug. Read over it, you know what I'm saying? They fear not God. They don't fear His Word. They don't see the calamity that's going to, when that time comes, and God's going to put it in front of him. How did you deal with that situation? Well, I tried to be above board. I didn't show partiality. Good. Well done, my good and faithful servant. God knows how we dealt with that, how I dealt with Sam and all that, and with my own family. No different than anybody else. You want truth? You want to come a journey on this journey? You're welcome. By all means, come. But they said, might as well know it's actually, in a way, it's easy street. It's a lot easier than having to fight with your conscience, knowing at the end of the day you got nothing. Here, you got eternal life, you know. You got all goodness and mercy, you know. Got all these promises.